plan? Well, as I've said, transport is the lifeblood of the city. People use it to get around, whether it's for jobs, whether it's for their leisure activities, whatever it is. And each of the hundreds of large-scale events that take place across this capital city has the potential, of course, not just to go wrong if people can't get there, but also actually to cause a huge reputational risk to underground transport for London, or indeed the city and the country as a whole. So we do need to be able to accommodate variable, unexpected conditions and absorb the shocks such as they will be, because as you've heard, you may be able to plan for everything, but actually something unexpected will always emerge, whether it's from a volcano or anything else. So what is the plan? Well, we try to plan as far as possible in advance. We do look for unpredictable events, extreme weather, civil unrest, and also, say, in conjunction with our partner agencies. The other thing that I think is important in all of this is regular exercise. Not often people think that whether you're doing a tabletop exercise or indeed some live multi-agency exercises, these things are almost at the academic end of resilience. But my experience over the years is that these have become, A, increasingly sophisticated in really identifying where the gaps lie, but actually increasingly vital if you're going to ensure your people are properly alert and alive to what might happen. If you have a robust process in place to assess and plan for events, unlikely as they might be, if you have the necessary controls in place, then the way that you manage incidents is, I think, improved as a result. The 7/7 bombings, actually, in London were an interesting one. I wasn't doing this job, but I was the Chief Operating Officer of the Underground at that time. Rather amazingly, we had a plan for a network disruption of that scale. Even more amazingly, we took the plan off the shelf and we used it. And actually, over 85% of the tube ran the next morning. So a bit like the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police at the time reassuring the markets, the only response we had to terrorism the next morning was to run as much of the transport network as we possibly could, regardless of how many people felt that they wished to travel on it. I've talked a little bit about the multi-agency approach. It is important because we don't deal with this in isolation as London Underground or as a transport network, of course, but actually working effectively with the fire brigade, with the ambulance service, with the various police forces, local boroughs, Network Red, of course, and others that we have to interact with, does really increase your ability to operate in these challenging circumstances. The control of incidents is obviously really important as well for the Olympic Games. And part of the Games, we set up a new control room. Actually, we took the mantle of ensuring that every transport organisation came to our control room, so that we felt, being in London, we should have the overview of this and got everybody else involved. This facility worked actually really well. There was certainly a few dodges, I think, at the time. And a key legacy of the Games is that it still exists, and we still mobilise it. Now for what you might describe as run-of-the-mill events, the Notting Hill Carnival, the Marathon, other big events that happen on an annual basis in London, we actually use this facility. The way that we command and control these events is also important. So we mimic the emergency services response structure of gold, silver and bronze. We have our own people allocated to roles that work with them. I think the simplicity of that system just works for us very well. You know, I think we've learned over time, sometimes the hard way, that actually trying to create something different to try and be a bit clever and show that we've got a good idea is not always the best thing to do. Let's work with something that's proven and tested already. Now, the 2012 Games were really the UK's biggest logistical operation in a generation. Huge risk to our global reputation. Preparation for the Games did start actually pretty much from day one when the Games were awarded to London. And one of the things we did very successfully was something called travel demand management, where we sought to spread out the loadings of people. We said people could still and should still go about their daily commercial business, their daily leisure life, any other activity they want to get up to in London, but that actually we knew there were parts of the network were going to be particularly busy at particular times where big events at the Olympic Park, for example, clashed with the rush hour period on the tube. It was interesting that We had our busiest ever day on the tube during the games, 4.57 million journeys on a particular day. Actually, we've broken that record since then. But on that day, because we managed to spread it out across the whole day, we didn't have to hold people outside any tube station at all for the entire day. Now that is different, actually, from just a normal working day.